I want to turn to Mark chapter 5 this morning. And while you're turning over there, I want to pick up reading in verse 21. And the scene here is Jesus has just finished healing a man that was possessed with an evil spirit in the country of the Gadarenes. And I know that you're probably familiar with that passage. And this is immediately after that. It says that Jesus had gotten back on the ship again, and he had left the country of the Gadarenes. And in verse 21, it says that when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. I just like to suggest to you this morning that the feet of Jesus is a good place to be. Amen. Have you ever considered what it might would be like to have the opportunity to go and to kneel down before the feet of Jesus? Well, this man Jairus had the opportunity, and he availed himself of it, and he took advantage of it. And you'll see here momentarily that he had a great need, and he had a great burden upon his heart. But that's just the point, I believe, about the story about this man named Jairus. You know, we mentioned last week that how they, even though the Jews largely rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as being the Messiah and as being the Son of God and the eternal Son of God, you remember how that God told Elijah that he had reserved unto himself 7,000 men who had not bowed the knee to Baal, who had not kissed him, and that God, and that Paul wrote there over, we were looking in the Roman letter last week, how that Paul wrote that even now that there's a remnant of the Jews that still believe. And I believe that that's still true even today. Well, here is one of them. This man, Jairus, he was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a Jew, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. He was involved with the religious worship services. But he had a great burden on his heart, and he came and he sought Jesus. And he came and he saw him, and he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she may live." And we'll find out right at the end of this chapter that his little daughter that he spoke of was only 12 years old. And it's just something about that. I love the little details that the gospel writers, Mark in this case, give in their accounting of these stories in the Bible. I like the fact that he let us know this little detail, that this little girl was only 12 years old. Now, I mean, we all have a heart for our children. We have a heart for, I trust, for other people's children. That's just a natural characteristic of God's people, is that we love one another in that way, and we have a loving heart, and we have concern and compassion in our heart. But I mean, who could not have compassion upon a little 12-year-old girl that was on her deathbed? And she was so sick, and she was very near death. And I can't tell for sure, but when you go over to Luke's gospel and you read this account in Luke's gospel, it says that it almost has language that indicates that it might even be his only child. It's his only daughter for sure, and it may be his only child. Hard to tell. But I mean, a 12-year-old girl, his daughter, that's sick, and he comes to Jesus for help. I'm glad that he came to Jesus for help. I hope that you and I know that the place that we need to go for help is to the Lord Jesus Christ when you need it. I'm afraid we live in a world now where a lot of God's little children are really not aware that Jesus can help in every circumstance in life. Amen. You know, we see a lot of, I think we're bombarded with advertisements from time to time that there's so many help aids available to people today. So many organizations that are designed to be of help and assistance to families and whatnot. So many different groups are geared and are supplied and staffed up to be able to provide help. And I'm thankful for those. And they do a lot of good work. But I want you to know this morning that none of those can ever supersede the work that your Savior Jesus is able to do in time of need. My heart goes out to this man, Jairus. There he is, a ruler of a synagogue. And you know, most of his Jewish friends probably didn't believe on Jesus. But this man at least had the courage to believe on Jesus and to go and to seek him. And it says that he besought him greatly. I hope that you and I are never ashamed of our Savior and that we know that we are always able to beseech Jesus at any time we have a need. He says, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death, and I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live." Now there's a man right there that has faith. There's a man that believed in Jesus Christ and understood that he is able to heal. I'm not sure that all of God's little children today have that knowledge. I'm really not. But I want you to know that the same Jesus that is able to heal this little girl and Jairus had so much faith in, I hope that your faith is still just as strong today in your Savior Jesus as Jairus' faith was. Because he is the same Jesus. He changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus went with him. I mean, I don't have to read anything else other than when I hear the fact that Jesus went with Jairus to know and to understand Jesus had compassion on this man and this little girl. It says he went with him. And it says that much people followed him, as they usually did, and they thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, and she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Does that sound familiar at all? Is that almost not a picture in some ways of you and I in various aspects of life, of how that we've had issues from time to time? We've tried our very best to get better. We've tried everything that we've known. Maybe we've spent a great deal of money and resources trying to fix the problem, and yet things have seemingly only got worse. Is that not almost a picture of today's little Christian trying to struggle along in this world in which we live? It seems like it could be in many cases. But I mean, can your heart not go out to this woman who has been sick for 12 long years and unable to have any improvement? It even says that she has spent all that she had to try to be healed of this issue with her blood, and she was only worse. My heart goes out to her. But guess what? She's come to the right place. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She actually felt it. Can you see the picture? Can you see this picture of Jesus moving down a street or a pathway, being thronged about with a great crowd of people, a press, as it was described, a press of people all up around him? And this woman has enough faith to know that, you know, I've tried everything possible, everything that I've been able to try, including my life savings. I have tried to be healed of this issue with my blood, and I can't do it. But if I could only touch his clothes. Now, is that not a woman of great faith? Is that not a woman whose faith has been built up and her trust has been placed in her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? When she gets to the point, she says, all I need to do is just touch his clothes and I'll be healed. And she knew it. But you know what I like? What she really did is that she pressed forward. She fought her way through the crowd and through the press, and she maneuvered her way up close enough to reach out and to touch Jesus' garment. You know, sometimes I think Christians today are far too weak. Christians are too timid today to seek help from Jesus. Sometimes I think our little minds, we live in a little box and we live in a little world that's too small and it's too confined. And sometimes we think, you know, my problems are probably too small for Jesus. He's probably not interested in it. And we sometimes forget to seek Jesus and to ask Jesus for help. You know, Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Is that your case sometimes? It's been mine. It's been my case from time to time. I have neglected at certain times in life to look to my Savior for certain things when I should have. But you know what I did? I just missed a great opportunity. I had a great opportunity that just passed me by, and it's no getting it back. I missed it. Well, this woman did not miss her opportunity. When she saw Jesus, she fought her way and maneuvered her way up through the crowd, shoving people aside to get close enough to reach out and touch his garment. And don't you just love what it says? She says, and straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She felt healing power flow from Jesus' garment to her and in her body, and immediately she was healed and cured. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, almost laughingly, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Like, surely, can't you see the crowd of people around? There's so many people around you. There are lots of people touching you, and you're asking, who touched me? They didn't quite understand. Jesus had felt virtue go out of his body when that woman touched his garment. He felt goodness, healing virtue flow out of his body, and he knew it. And he turned around and said, who touched me? But don't you really believe in your heart that he knew exactly who it was that touched him? I feel like he did. He looked around, it says, verse 32 says, he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling and knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I just hope that you remember that the option and the availability of Jesus to this woman is available to us today. How about sometimes if we just had the mentality and we had the attitude that she did, if we could just touch his garment? Jairus wanted to be at the feet of Jesus, and he made his way and he besought him, and he got up to him and he fell down at his feet. I hope you always remember that whatever life's tribulations and life's difficulties bring to us today, I hope you know we still have our Savior available to us, that we can go and kneel at his feet and we can reach out and touch his garment. If we could only just have the attitude of this lady and have the faith of this woman who said, if I can only touch his garment, I will be healed. I know I'll be healed. Friends, we live in a world now where we need a Savior. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. We all need a Savior. We all need a place to go and a place that we can kneel down and bring our petitions and our heart's cries to our Savior, Jesus Christ. The same Lord that was available walking in the flesh here on this earth to these people, He's available to you and I now through the medium of prayer and through our hearts and our souls and spirits and our meditations. So Jesus healed this woman, and He said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." But then in verse 35, remember, He's on the way to the home of Jairus. Isn't it interesting, too, that with Jairus' daughter on her deathbed, and Jairus being so urgent in requesting that Jesus might come and to save his daughter and to heal his 12-year-old daughter, that Jesus found time to stop and to deal with this woman. Jesus always has time for you. He's never too busy to intercede and to hear your cries or hear your prayers. So I encourage you to always go to Jesus. Never have an item, never have a moment in your life that you consider to be too small or too insignificant to take it to Jesus, because He's available for you and I. He's available for His children. It says it in verse 35, "While He yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" You know, I feel like probably some of the other folks in Jairus' household were probably had faith in Jesus as well, just like Jairus did. But did you notice that they thought that as long as she was still alive, there's still hope? As long as this little girl still had breath, though she was gravely ill, they still had hope. And they wanted to call and to ask for Jesus to come and to heal her. But the moment that she took her last breath and she passed away, can you see that this servant came and he felt like all hope was lost? He says, "Why would you even trouble the master anymore, because she's already dead now? It's too late. He's not able to do anything." I wonder how many of God's little children today have that attitude, that Jesus is limited in what He can do. Have you ever limited in your mind that which you thought Jesus is able to do in your life? Have you ever placed any limitations on Him? Have you ever wondered, well, maybe my problem is too small, maybe it's too insignificant, maybe Jesus doesn't really see and understand what I'm feeling right now and the burdens that are upon my heart. Maybe He doesn't really know. Have you ever limited Jesus in any way in your life? I dare say that I probably could not count the times that I think I've done that. But I feel like I know now I've made a great mistake by doing it. Why troublest the master any further? It's really no use now, is it? Because she's dead. He didn't get there in time. We should just go home and not even trouble Him anymore. Don't you just love what Jesus says, though? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He saith to the ruler of the synagogue, who would be Jairus, He says, "Be not afraid, only believe." Let those words ring in our ears this morning. Let those words find a lodging place in our hearts. Be not afraid, but only believe, because this life will take us to places where we need to hear that. We need to know that our Savior would lean down and whisper in our ear, "Be not afraid, but only believe in Me." We need to know that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He suffered no man to follow Him save Peter, James, and John, the two brothers, James and John, the sons of Boanerges, as they are called in another place. two brothers, James and John, and of course the apostle Simon Peter. I don't know why, but Jesus, for some reason, he chose these three apostles in numerous cases. He brought them further away from the other apostles, and he showed them certain things. These were the same three that Jesus took with him up on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus was transfigured before them, and they were able to see Moses and Elijah talking with themselves and talking about Jesus and what he should accomplish. Peter, James, and John got to go a little bit further than the other apostles. This was one of those occasions. He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. I mean, it's no different than many of the similar situations that we face today when someone loses a loved one. I don't know if you've ever been around a family that has lost a loved one that was a very young person. There's something about it that makes it even harder. I guess it's just the fact that we feel like, well, it is so sad that a young person would lose their life at such an early age, and you feel like there's so many things in life that they never would have an opportunity to experience. And I see that. And I had a very good close friend one time who lost a 17-year-old son in a car wreck. And the grief is just, the level of grief with that family is hard to understand. I mean, the night that that happened, a number of us went over to his house and we literally sat there on the back porch with him and never said a word. It was just like Job's friends that came to comfort Job in his grief. At least they understood there are no words for certain times in life. There were no words. But he brought these people and there was much grief, much weeping and wailing. And when he came to them, Jesus says this to the household and to those that are mourning and grieving there. He says, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And the Bible says that they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, Peter, James, and John, and he entereth in to where the damsel was lying. It says they laughed Jesus to scorn. Jesus says, "Why are you carrying on like this? Why are you making such ado? And why are you weeping this way? She's only sleeping." Now, you know, not a single person there had ever seen what was about to happen, had ever seen it before. You know, they thought all hope was lost. Just like the servant that came to let Jairus know, it's too late now, no need to trouble the master any further because the young girl is dead. All hope was lost to this family. And yet Jesus says, "Why are you weeping this way? She's only sleeping." She's not dead, but she's sleeping. And it said they laughed him to scorn. Might I suggest to you this morning, never laugh at Jesus. Never laugh at your Savior. Now, I know he has a sense of humor. It's so clear in the Bible that God has a sense of humor. He really does. But never laugh at Jesus when he makes a statement. It doesn't matter how unbelievable it may sound to you. It doesn't matter that you don't understand how it is he may do something. You might not understand how Jesus is able to help you in various ways in life, but never laugh at your Savior. They laughed him to scorn here in this case. They laughed and they laughed and they cackled and they went on. And they said, "Surely you don't know what you're talking about." Well, Jesus just took the mother and the father and Peter, James, and John, and he went in to where the damsel was lying. And he took her by the hand, and he said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something be given her to eat. Those same ones that were laughing just a few moments ago were not laughing anymore. They sat there dumbfounded with a look of astonishment, because they had not a clue what Jesus is able to do. They didn't know about the power of Jesus, your Savior. I hope you never forget about these occasions that are written and recorded for us in the Scriptures. They're recorded to help strengthen our hearts and our resolve, to strengthen our faith and to build up our faith, because He's the same Lord that He was then and did miracles in this day and age while He walked here on the earth. He is the same God today. And He still works miracles in our lives, and He still hears your prayers, and He still hears your cries. This story had a happy ending, didn't it? It started out very sad that his 12-year-old daughter had passed away, but Jesus came and He brought her back to life and He resurrected her. And the story had a happy ending. I hope you know that no matter what happens to us in life, no matter which of our loved ones pass away, we may have somebody in the next week that we love pass away. You may have loved ones buried out in this very cemetery next door to the church here. I want you to know their story is also going to have a happy ending. Aren't you glad this morning that you know the end of the story for God's children? It has a happy ending. Every single one of these bodies of our loved ones that are placed in various graves throughout this world, they're only sleeping in Christ. I hope you know that. Always remember that. They're sleeping in Christ. Jesus is going to come back and raise them up out of the grave some sweet day when He comes to gather His family, to gather all of His precious jewels and take them back home and deliver up the kingdom to His Father. What a day that shall be. I'm glad that we know that so many, I want you to know, in fact, every story in the Bible concerning Jesus has a happy ending. Have you ever noticed that? Every single one. There's too many examples. We can't cover them all. Let's go to Luke chapter 7 for just a moment, though. Let's look at another one. But every single occasion in the Bible, it has a happy ending when Jesus is involved. Well, I want you to know your life's no different today. I want to encourage you and adjure you this morning that you make sure that you put Jesus first in your life. You make a decision to serve Him first. Your life is going to come out better. Your situations in life, your tribulations and troubles in life, you're not going to be free of them, but you're going to come out better when you serve Jesus and put Him first. He always provides for His people. I just can't get over the fact that the man says, well, it's too late now. Even Jesus can't help now. She's dead. Why troublest the Master any further? Even He can't help. I want you to know this morning, your Savior is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. That's what Paul said. Exceeding abundantly above. I think sometimes we as Christians, we tend to limit Jesus too much, and we shouldn't do that. Luke chapter 7. Quickly. There's a man over here. A certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him and was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And so they came to Jesus and they began to explain that this man's servant was a good man. This man is worthy of being healed. He's worthy of your time and effort. He's a good man. I know the feeling. I know what they were thinking there. I understand that. He says that he loves our nation and he has built us a synagogue. And it says, then Jesus went with them. He agreed to go. And he went on. Jesus went on here. And it says that Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and he turned him about, and he said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. How about a man that believes in the power of Jesus Christ and believes in his abilities, that he has a servant that he dearly loves, almost as one of his own children, and he would send for help and send to ask if Jesus might come and to heal him. And just before Jesus gets to his home, he sends some people back out to go tell him. He says, you know, I'm not worthy. My household is not worthy that you should come under my roof, and I am not worthy to even come before thee. But if you'll just say the word, my servant will be healed. Now, is that great faith? Is that a person that has humbled themselves before Jesus? I feel like when we humble ourselves before Jesus and we come and we bow ourselves before his feet and we have a humble attitude in that way, Jesus is so very pleased to help his children and to hear our cries and to help us. Jesus healed the man and he never even set foot in the house. There's another occasion where Jesus was involved and the story ended well. Look right below there. Look at the next passageway. Look at verse 11. It came to pass the day after, he went to a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And look what it says in verse 13. Doesn't this say it all? When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. It didn't say anything about the Lord seeing her son in the coffin and having compassion on him. It says Jesus had compassion on the mother because her only son had died. She had lost her husband. She was a widow. And now her only son had died. And Jesus had compassion on her. Did you know this morning that your Savior loves you and he cares about your feelings and he cares about your well-being? He cares what you're experiencing in life and going through. Not only does he know about it, but he cares. You remember what it said in the Hebrew letter? We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That means we do have a high priest that can be touched. He's a high priest that is not only touched, not only does he know about our infirmities and our troubles, but he's touched. His heart is moved by the pains and the difficulties and the burdens that we feel in our heart. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That's the kind of high priest that we have. And so we're able to come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find help in time of need. Won't you avail yourself of the help that Jesus has offered and that he has presented to us and that he's made it available? I'm afraid too many Christians don't use it enough. We don't utilize it. It's like a person, it's way worse than this, but it's like a person who would have 6 weeks of vacation with a company and he only uses 1 week and he just ends up losing 5 weeks. Well, you think, well, nobody I know would ever do that. I actually knew a couple that would lose vacation. They wouldn't take it all. But this is much greater. This is much greater, the availability that we have to go to Jesus in a time of need. He saw her and he had compassion on her. And he said, weep not. You know, there's something about when Jesus sees us weeping, there's something that touches him. Because you remember, we don't really have time to go there this morning, but do you remember over in John chapter 11 when a man that Jesus loved named Lazarus, and he had two sisters, Mary and Martha, and he says Jesus loved all three of them. These were three children of God. Do you remember when Lazarus died and they called for Jesus, and you remember that story of how he delayed for a couple days, but when he went, it said over there that when Jesus saw her weeping, all these people were weeping, Mary and Martha, they were weeping because their brother had died, and all their friends were there with them. But it said when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, it said that he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Do you know why Jesus was troubled? Because some of his little children that he loved were hurting. They had lost a loved one and their hearts were broken and they're hurting. And it troubled him greatly. His heart was troubled and he groaned in the spirit. And when he said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. It says in verse 35, Jesus wept. Your Savior wept. He wasn't weeping because Lazarus had died. In fact, when he first found out Lazarus was sick, he said he abode 2 days in the place that he was at. He didn't even get in a hurry. And this is somebody that Jesus loved. Jesus loved Lazarus. He was a child of God. But Jesus just waited. And sure enough, he died. We don't have time to really look at the story today, but I just wanted you to remember the fact that when Jesus saw those people, Mary and Martha, and their friends weeping, it said that he groaned in the spirit and it caused him to weep also. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus saw this widow and her son coming out on the bier of the coffin. And he said, weep not. And he came and he touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. Yet we have but another instance where the story ended well because Jesus was there. You remember, each of the two sisters, Mary and Martha, concerning their brother Lazarus that had died and he had been dead for 4 days, each one of them told Jesus, if you had have been here, he would not have died. My brother would not have died if you'd have been here. Do you know that was a true statement? They both had that right. No one ever died in the presence of Jesus. You can't find an occasion where it ever happened in the Bible. You can only find occasions where people came back to life. Jesus raised three of them from the grave. Your Savior is moved and touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I hope that we remember that this morning. I hope that we know that we have a Savior that we can approach. He is approachable on the throne of grace. He's not like some of the kings of this world who you're not able to approach unto. You're not able to gain audience with them, but your Savior is available to all of his little children. I hope you know that there's no occasion in life, there's no trouble that you or I may have where we should ever say, why troubleth the Master any further? He can't help now. It's too late. Are my problems too small? He's not interested. Because he is interested in your troubles. Jesus cares about the burdens upon your heart. And he cares about the struggles that each one of us go through in life. And we all have our struggles in various ways. But Jesus cares. That's your high priest this morning. That's the one we came to worship. That's the one who leans down and he inclines his ear and he hears your cries when you lift up your voice to him. I just encourage you this morning, never forget about all the good endings that every case when people had the faith to call upon Jesus, something good always happened. That's your case as well. Call upon your Savior. Seek him out. Seek the feet of Jesus. The feet of Jesus is always a good place to be. Reach out and touch his garment. Have the faith that that woman had and reach out and touch his garment. Our stories will end well also. May God bless and keep you this morning.